Hey, everybody. There we go. That woke up some of the folks in the back. Excellent. How's everyone doing tonight?
Good.
Yay. Sunday Night Giant Con. Everyone survived. Hooray. So, my name is Andrew Greenberg. I've had the privilege of doing this video or some other version of this with the EFF track for 15 years now, I believe. We tend to think it's the most important event you can attend at Dragon Con, so thank you all for coming to this. As you have seen with the video, this information might not necessarily keep you from getting arrested, and being arrested will ruin your day, your night, your weekend, your month, but being convicted will in many ways ruin your life. So the focus here is really on safeguarding your rights and ensuring your own protection. One thing you'll also notice in this, that we do have the belief that people being well-informed and knowing how to deal with what for many people is the most stressful event they'll go through keeps them safer, and it also keeps the police safer. So we think this is a service for everyone involved in these matters to do these. So as I said, I've served in a number of, I do serve in a number of appointed county and government positions, but I'm also a game designer, so my Noble Armada game will be coming out September 13th. Look for it on Steam. I do want to, all right.
Sorry, shameless.
I do want to let the rest of our panel introduce themselves. We have a surprise guest we'll start with. Yes, indeed, everyone, it is the evil cop who busted the old woman at the end of the video. Woo! Captain America. You want to say who you are real quick?
Hi, folks. My name is Pat Berry. I am a I am a retired state trooper. That's why they booked that gig, I think. I've been a professional actor for a little over a decade. And, I participated in that because it's really important that everybody knows. Because when I swore to uphold the Constitution, it included everything in that Constitution, especially people's rights. Right now I'm working for a federal police agency that I prefer not to bring up or else they'll probably get mad at me. I show up at this con almost every year. And the funny thing is he always likes me coming up. But he never invites me back, so I'm not sure how to take that. But he always, I never show up, he's like, oh, come on up,
it's
come
God's
on up.
Fault.
You know?
I blame the guy with the camera.
Okay, all right. So anyway, moving on.
Where's your warrant?
Yeah, there you go.
Hi, I'm Cara Chappell. I'm a senior litigation paralegal that matriculated into a Freedom of Information coordinator for the City of Virginia Beach. I've been Andrew's sidekick on and off for a number of years, so I'm happy to be back again.
Hey.
Can I borrow your microphone?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll share.
They didn't give the other cop a microphone.
Think of that one either.
Yeah, I know. They put him in the corner.
You have the right to remain very silent.
my name's Jonathan McFarland. I'm a law enforcement officer in Georgia for a county police department. I've been in law enforcement for just about 12 years. I was on patrol for about 8 of that and served as a field trainer for about 4 years of that 8. For the last 4 years or so, I've been in the Special Victims Unit as a Crimes Against Children detective. I also am part of a state task force for internet crimes against children and a federally led task force for human trafficking enforcement in the Atlanta area.
I'm Ron Daniels. I'm an attorney down in Middle Georgia. I do civil litigation, suing abusive debt collectors and helping people maintain their privacy. But I'm also a conflict public defender for Houston County, which means I get the trigger man usually who has not watched this video at all. and I do some federal appointed criminal defense work.
My name is Matthew Conley. I do nothing that special like you guys do. I primarily do computer security for DOD environments, but I've also been volunteer fire EMS stuff, and that's been most of my involvement with police and such as that. Oh, okay.
I don't think they can hear you.
Okay, can I hear now?
Yeah, love the mic. Love the mic.
Well, I don't like mics. Jeez. It's really hard, you know. You don't want to be picked up by a mic. Background of fire and EMS on the volunteer side. So that's primarily my background in dealing with police.
And an investigator.
Yep.
All right, so this is primarily your opportunity to ask questions. Officially, we only have about 15 minutes, but I think if we're really nice to Scott and the rest of the gang, they'll let us go a little longer. I do want to talk about one thing, which is the IDs. We always get questions about this one. In Georgia, you can get convicted if you don't identify yourself when a police officer asks you to, whether you're driving or not. It is bizarrely enough, and you can all correct me if I'm wrong, a trespassing charge, as I've been told. What is it if you're a...
Okay. It's obstruction.
It's an obstruction.
It's a misdemeanor obstruction.
But it isn't necessarily an ID. There's nothing that requires you to give an ID in the law. So it's usually a good idea, but. All right, so we'll take the questions. Oh, and please note the thing that says not legal advice, no attorney-client privilege.
Just to make clear, I'm not here representing my department in any way. This is just me having fun at con.
Same here.
So they give you that advice that you don't consent to searches, but what's the evidence that you say that? It's just his, you know, your word against theirs if they choose to say that you did consent to it. So what's your, what, you know, what are your options then if you don't and they still say you did?
I'll jump on that first, and glad to let the others take it as well. Again, it is your word against theirs, but we've dealt with lawyers. We work with a couple of lawyers, Dave Clark and Winston Goetz, who have been involved especially in cannabis defenses, who say that they have never lost a DWI, driving while intoxicated, case for a client who did not consent to the searches. And generally, they say it's a major assist for them. I'm glad to let anyone else handle that.
Well, I'll just say, like, a police officer who asks that question, gets a no, and then lies and says you did anyway is, I mean, obviously they're violating law, they're incredibly unethical, but they're also putting everything at risk for themselves personally. I can tell you that that's not something that I've ever been a part of in my department. Certainly would never have occurred to me to ever do that, and we don't have a culture where I work where that would be nobody would ever consider that acceptable where I work.
I've watched about 80 stop videos this year on new cases. I have not seen a single one where the video went missing when something like that happened. I will tell you that it is certainly possible for it to happen. But now that everything is recorded, you've got folks with body cams. If they're in a car, they've got a recorder going. It would be highly unusual. I'm sure it's possible, but that's one of those things. If they're going to lie about that, it's going to be a credibility determination for a judge. If they're lying about it once, they're probably not having a bad night. They're probably a problem. The prosecutor's probably going to be aware of that. The judge is probably going to be aware of that.
The police actually have a very high standard. It is a high standard when it comes to chain of custody. And if there is any question to that chain of custody of the evidence, then that evidence can be thrown out of court and not used against you.
Yeah, and just to be clear, this isn't a get-out-of-jail-free card. What we're doing is we're building layers of defense for you. Every piece of this is a part of that defense. So you're trying to build an entire fortress, not just to get out of jail free card.
Thank you for the panel. You mentioned about the recording. I'd like to tie that into my question. You see the videos where when police are talking to somebody, everyone gets out their video cameras. But with everything going on with drugs and the opiates and all that, and now that tying into DUI, even with drugs for depression or anxiety or any kinds of that stuff, how do you handle an encounter to not get a DUI because of prescriptions? And can you record it with or without telling the police officer that you're recording as you're being pulled over? If they see a weekly pill container that has your pills laid out, is your mom gonna get arrested for having that in her console? Or what's the best response for that? Thank you.
I can take this one for Georgia, and let me be clear that I'm not licensed to practice any other state. I don't know the law in any other state. If your pills are in a different container, that's actually a crime in the state of Georgia, as odd as it is. Usually you won't get prosecuted for it if you have a valid prescription. They're really looking for people with opiates, things like that, not anti-anxiety medicines, normal medicines. The thing really to watch out for when you're recording somebody else is in what law the state applies. In Georgia, you can record somebody. You don't have to ask them. just put your phone in the seat, turn it on. I wouldn't be playing with it on your dashboard, and I would make sure you're stopped in the state of Georgia because we have a new hands-free law that went into effect last month, and they really like writing tickets for it. No offense.
I've been written 4 years.
The thing you asked, it brought it up that, you know, how do you protect yourself on like a DUI charge like that? The best thing I can tell you about DUI charges is you don't have to do, in the state of Georgia, the stand on one leg, hop, turn thing. Don't ever do that if you can avoid it. It is set up to give them clues, because most of those things people can't do when they're sober. Yeah. You may have a strange gait. You're not going to walk straight on one. Avoid things like that. Now, if they see a pill container in somebody's car, they may ask about the pill container. You know, my general stance on telling folks, and I've been pulled over a couple of times, sometimes for valid reasons, sometimes because I piss somebody off. You know, I try to make it a business transaction, get in and out as quick as possible. If they ask me a question, I give them a yes or no answer if it's something I think they should know. If they ask me if, you know, hey, is that a pill container in there? Yes, those are my prescriptions. Or yet, no, you know, yes, that is. That's my son's prescriptions. Or, you know, something simple like that. Get in and out. Don't volunteer any more information than you have to, because it's, you know, you don't want them to rip apart your car, and you don't want to tell them stuff that's going to make them question you.
So I'll hit a few of the various issues on a DUI. First of all, in Georgia, again, if you are pulled over, you are required to show your ID, your driver's license. If you don't show it, you can lose your driving privileges for a year. That's the implied consent doctrine. So whether you're sober, whether you're following all the laws, just not showing your ID can lose it. You can lose the privilege of driving for, I don't think this is working. All right, there we go, for an entire year. Secondly, well, that's also the testing. If they will ask you to test, and you don't want to do the stupid test, and it's up to you what level of test you want. Again, if you refuse test, you're losing your, you have the, they will cost you your license for a year. So.
However, if you have a prescription for the substances that you're taking, and if you're not over the limit, the legal limit for what's in your system, you will not, I mean, it's a nuisance factor, but you should not, I don't want to say will not, but you should not lose your license for, you know, what's in your system. Should not, provided you haven't been doing the knucklehead factor.
Just to be clear, so the administrative license suspension is related to if an officer places you under arrest for DUI after the arrest occurs. This is all in Georgia, by the way. This is not relevant for other states necessarily. They're going to read something off of a card to you called the implied consent. They're basically saying, hey, I'm requesting a test of your blood, breath, and or urine. They're going to pick one or all of those.
Or give you the option.
You can say no. If you say no, then there is an administrative suspension of your license. There are hearings that you can fight that, and you know it'll go to court and everything. But that is a separate process from the criminal proceeding related to the criminal charge of DUI. In terms of medications, I know this is the cop answer, but make sure you're not impaired is definitely one factor. I mean, that's a public safety issue. If you know that your medication is contraindicated with alcohol or other drugs, be careful not to do that. Don't pound whiskey after you've taken your Xanax, like, you know. But if you're taking a prescribed dosage of a medication and you've talked with your doctor and made sure that you are, in fact, safe to drive with the dosage that you're taking, you know, communicating that to an officer, you know, most of the time would be helpful.
And in Georgia, too, you can get a DUI and not be over the limit on anything. We have a DUI less safe. So if, let's say, you hit the yellow line a little bit, they pull you over, they do a roadside pullover, suspect you of driving under the influence. Let's say you blow and you don't blow high enough to be over the limit. They can still write you a DUI less safe because they thought you were driving in a fashion that was, you were impaired and you were a danger to others.
Although typically less safe, at least in my jurisdiction, typically less safe charges are used in the case of accidents. When somebody causes an accident and they might not be at the legal limit. Also, just to touch real quick, there is no testing for drugs in terms of a number. That's only for alcohol. Like, so there's no way to say you're a, like a 1.0 of Xanax or whatever. It's only related to alcohol that you'll hear those numbers thrown around.
To quickly speak on the issue regarding recording, each state, believe it or not, does have a one or two party laws. There are even some states that have specific laws about whether you can record the police in a certain incident or not. It depends on each state. Maryland had one at one point, then they changed it. California had one at one point, and they changed it. But generally speaking, each state you want to look up the laws that you might be driving through, like, is that a one or two party state in your, because it even counts if you're just like, hey, you're recording random so-and-so, and they're out there doing like goofball stuff, and then people in the background are walking by, like you didn't necessarily have their consent, you know, to record them. So keep that in mind as well.
Which can also be in and of itself a separate felony.
But in Georgia, thank the newspapers that you do actually have some fairly robust rights to record. If you're involved, you can record it. If it's in a public space, you can record it. And that, and it doesn't have to involve you if it's in a public space. Now, if you're going to broadcast it, then you should get their permission and all that kind of thing. But just for recording it, for your own defenses, if you're involved, good. If it's public space, good.
Just a clarification. So what if you're driving and you don't have a license on your person? That is, like, you're going to the swimming pool or something, and you just don't have a license. And then the second part of that is...
Which cop wants to beat him down for that?
and then the second one is, recently I went to the electronics store to get my hands-free system, and they said, you know, a lot of people are starting to buy these external-facing and internal-facing cameras that record constantly. Cameras. And do y'all have any wisdom or recommendation? Is it worth $700? I mean, that's that kind of thing. So.
Let's get the ID thing out of the way first. Yeah. Simply having your full name and your date of birth, they're able to reasonably figure out that you are who you say you are. But if you say your name is, you know, Ruth Collins, date of birth, you know, 18 years old, basically, and when I look at you, and a reasonable person wouldn't believe that, then they're probably going to take you in and fingerprint you to make sure that you're telling the truth. But generally speaking, and they can detain you for a reasonable amount of time, according to the courts, in order to determine your identity, especially if, you know, it's fairly plain that you're lying about it. So, but yeah, name and date of birth, and they can figure out, oh, okay, he's, you know, about 6'2", white fella, brown hair, brown eyes. All right, that's reasonable to believe that he is who he says it is.
Well, in Georgia, we have the majority of departments now, you have mobile computers in the vehicles. We're able to pull up a photo ID associated with your driver's license once we get your name and date of birth. If you don't have your license with you while you're driving, that is an offense. It's a misdemeanor. It's a traffic ticket. Majority of the officers that I've worked with and myself personally don't tend to write that. I mean, obviously, people forget their wallets, they forget their license, and if you're upfront about who you are, what you're doing, in terms of the ID thing, that you forgot your ID, that would be, at least in my experience, that's not like a charge that anybody would be excited about.
Yeah, I'd say 98% of the time, that's a warning.
Yeah, verbal warning, typically.
And in regard to the camera, that is your lifestyle and your level of risk and what you're involved with, it'll kind of decide how protected you want to be, and the EFF guys are great for suggestions on exactly what to use and have and so forth.
It's good if you get into a traffic accident.
I've
been involved as a road officer. I've been involved in, I can recall two traffic investigations where there was just a fender bender or, you know, moderate damage to vehicles. Somebody had the camera system like that, and I just could sit in the driver's seat real quick, view it, and go, oh yeah, that's exactly what happened, and know, you know, clearly what occurred.
And your YouTube channel will get a ton of hits when you post it.
Yeah, yeah.
So my question is, like, hypothetical. Like, say I go to a bar and drink one beer or two beers, and, like, that's it, and I'm done, and I feel fine, and I drive.
Like,
two beers.
Like 12
it's
ounce
always
beer, like
two
5%.
Beers.
I'm just saying. Like, I know, but, like, if I'm serious, like, it really is only two.
Two shots, two beers. It's always two.
Always two.
Yeah.
Never three.
I know. If I don't drive after two, I'm just saying, if I did, like, you know, I did get pulled over, like, how would I go about that interaction, like, with the cop, or, like, what should I do? Like,
well, I'll say when the police
just
officer asks
immediately.
you don't have to talk to the cop. You don't have to answer the questions. You can go straight into the, you can go straight into the mic being detained, free to go, et cetera.
But if they want to search you,
also bear in mind this, is that a couple of Supreme Court cases, I think it's Berguis versus Tompkins. Does that sound right to you? Berguis versus Tompkins. You actually have to invoke your right to remain silent, which means you have to say, I am invoking my right to remain silent. In order to for Miranda to be necessary in an encounter, two elements must be present: custody and questioning. All right? A cop can ask you anything they want. If you're not in custody, they can ask you anything they want. But once you're in custody and they question you, different story. Then they have to give you Miranda. But if you are in a situation where you are being detained, legally detained, and you say to yourself, I'd like to invoke my Fifth Amendment right to remain silent.
And then actually be silent.
Yeah, and then shut up. All right, so we're getting the high sign to wrap up. I thought we were going to get to run a little longer, Scott. We're 15 more minutes. Give us the 1-5 sign instead. All right.
All right. Oh, but with the what should you do? I mean, they're saying don't talk or anything like that. I mean, I've pulled over plenty of people who say that they have had two drinks. They've blown into the intox. They've blown a .01 or a .02. And I've said, hey, just be careful and let them on. I mean, realistically, like, I understand they're going to tell you never, ever talk to the police. And I understand why. And I can tell you that there are plenty of times where I've had conversations with citizens and determined that they're not a risk to the public and sent them on their way and haven't thought ill of them. So, take it for what it's worth.
But never lie to the cops. Shut up rather than lie.
So realistically, so I was going to ask a different question of Ron, but now to follow up on this, so if you get stopped at, say, a sobriety checkpoint or something like that, right, and they, you know, you roll down your window and they talk to you, what is the right approach to take there? Let's say you've had two drinks, right? Because I've been at a sobriety checkpoint before where I said, yeah, you know, I had a couple drinks, and they're like, all right, you know, pull over, and then they did the field sobriety test and the whole business, and, you know, at the end, I they let me go, but it was kind of an unpleasant experience, and I'd rather not repeat that. So what's the right strategy to take with that?
Take an Uber.
I drank earlier. I think the more less specific you can be, not vague, but, you know, less specific, the better your chances are. I mean, if you're going through a field sobriety checkpoint, and you've been drinking, you're probably going to wind up having a difficult time regardless. There's not a lot, because they can smell it. I mean, y'all know, y'all have been to bars, you know what happens. It's hard to avoid that situation. But I always tell people, just, you know, be as vague as possible when you're talking about how much you've drank, because, and when you drink, because you might not be recounting completely when it was, particularly if you're already driving inebriated, which you should not do. I wouldn't be trusting your judgment to measure time, because they're not, because they're saying, you know, you can't drive. So,
again, we recommend, it is up to you what you're going to say. If you're going to say something vague, like not recently, that's up to you. But generally, am I being detained? Am I free to go? Et cetera. As he said, we will say, he'll say what he has to say, and we'll say what we have to say, and it'll all work.
So, say you do get stopped and you have something like a recording device in the car, or your phone's on recording or something like that, and a police officer is asking you questions, and you say, okay, I'm going to remain silent. What questions do you have to answer, and what questions do you not have to answer? If they said, hey, what's that red light on the dash? Are you recording me? Can I just remain silent?
For one thing, I would say, once again, read that part. The other part is that the thing you really do have to, if you have to answer any questions, have to do with your identity. Okay? That's first and foremost. People like say, well, you can't ask me anything, you know, like that. It's like, no, we can. We have to be able to determine who you are if, you know, you're part of this investigation. So, yes, that's something you do have to answer. Most everything else, I mean, even if they have said a red light, you also have to understand that nowadays, in the days of body cams that are a big deal, you're probably being recorded too. A lot of times when they stop you, they say, you know, Officer so-and-so, Sergeant so-and-so, whatever, Trooper so-and-so, you're stopping, you just mean stop for this thing, you're being audio and visually recorded. You know, sometimes they say I'm required by law to inform you you're being audio and visually recorded. So that being the case, it's actually okay in that case for you to have your own record of that, okay, which might be exculpatory evidence, which means it might help you, you know, be exonerated of something, or, you know, it might just show what happened, and it might, and you know, and if what you did was a crime, then it was a crime. But yeah, the main thing you have to answer has to do with determining your identity. All right.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, that's it.
So my goddaughter keeps a photo of her driver's license on her cell phone. Does that count to present to officers to show her identity?
It doesn't count for
Georgia,
driving.
It wouldn't.
Yeah, it doesn't count for driving, for identity, but not for driving.
I mean, she could be written for no driving driver's license on person, which is that misdemeanor offense. Yeah, so. Yeah, I mean, that would still be a traffic ticket, yeah. Potentially.
Photoshop that and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, it's not gonna count to be like, oh, it's not gonna get them out of a ticket that says, you know, if the ticket says failure to show a license at request, then yeah, they're gonna lose that one. Basically, they're gonna lose that one. But having it just say, hey, yeah, this is who I am, and then once again, if they can reasonably believe after going through, you know, checking them through, you know, all the alphabet soup letter, NCIC, NLETS. Did they use NLETS in it? We use CLETS anyway. Yeah, all the alphabet soup different computer systems. You know, then it's like, all right, it's reasonable to believe that, you know, Sophie so and so is Sophie so and so, right in front of me.
So I'm wondering if you could just shed a little light on the definitions between like a public space and a private space. With like my personal vehicle and how that ties into recordings.
All right, basically, since Vegas, the judge wants it to be, a street is generally considered a public space. Outside walking around is generally considered a public space. Dragon Con is generally considered a public space. Your hotel room is not. Now, when you start getting into restaurants and things like that, bars, it's a little fuzzier. Those are generally considered public spaces, but there can be times when they're considered acting in a private function. So there is some vagary to this. There's no, this is exactly the level.
Well, like my vehicle, right? My personal,
if you're in your garage, you're in a private space. If you're on the streets, you're public. If I can look in it and not get in trouble, it is generally considered a public space. But again, no legal advice applying here, and there are times when it's not going to be the case. Plain view.
Do you drive an RV or a sedan?
No.
Okay. Yeah, then it's public if it's on the roadway.
Okay. Thank you.
If I see go ahead.
Just real quick, there's also something in many different states, many different laws that say, they call it private property used by the public in general, right? You guys have that here in Georgia? So sometimes you might say, oh, gee, that was private property, but is it like an American Legion post that is used for people to park on, you know, while they go over to watch this concert around the corner, then yeah, that's private property used by the public in general. That still counts as technically public in that case, just so you understand.
Yes, I wanted to ask, if you see a police sobriety checkpoint ahead of you, is there any reason not to simply stop or turn around and go the other way?
Depends on how many chase cars they have.
There's a lot of truth to that.
Okay. Though,
how well staffed is your department?
I have been told that just turning around is not cause for a search. You all tell me otherwise, because this is one I don't know for sure.
Not for a search, but they can stop you.
But then they'll stop you, and then when you, if you're scared and getting wacky, that's when it becomes an issue.
Obviously, I'm not counseling anyone to violate the law, but if you see a parking lot that you can pull into, usually they don't set them up that way, but... You know, if there's a road you can turn on and don't look conspicuous, I don't think you would get in trouble for that. But, yeah, it depends on how many chase cars they've got.
And just to be clear, the legal answer in terms of police enforcement is if you divert your course after seeing the checkpoint, that is reason for the officers to conduct a traffic stop on your vehicle. They are legally allowed to pull over your car if they can articulate that, hey, this motorist saw an enforcement checkpoint and then diverted course as a result.
Try not to break any traffic laws in doing so, basically, because there are all cars that are like, you know, in certain both sides taking a look just to see, oh, did someone, yeah, there's another one, you know, but sometimes you can legally find a way around as long as you're not making an illegal U-turn, you're not doing a 3-point turn in the middle of the road, that sort of thing. Don't make it, you're making it obvious at that point. You know,
again,
you're going to get stopped, and it's going to be a long process for you.
It is my understanding it's not grounds for a search.
No.
If you're pulled over for speeding and you think you're going 10 miles over the limit, and you're not sure exactly, but you know, probably about 10 miles over, and the very first thing they ask you is, do you know how fast you're going? What should you be saying? Like, I'm not sure, nothing, 10 miles over?
I would like to invoke my right to remain silent.
And then if the officer is not great to you, is it really always a bad practice to ask for a badge number? Is that going to always turn them into like Dr. Jekyll?
We get
asked
for badge numbers all the time. That's not that big of a deal.
It's not.
I mean,
okay.
Again, I'm just speaking my, you know, 12-ish years in my little neck of the woods, and I'm in one little area. I can't speak for the whole state. I can't speak for the region. I can't speak for the country. Just my little pocket of the world. Like I've been dog cussed on the road, and we just take it. We have to take it.
What's that? Dog cussed.
I can tell you.
Call me everything but the child of God. That's what they say down here.
And I've also been told in a lot of areas it's easier just to ask for a business card from some of the officers. A lot of them don't, but a lot of them do have business cards.
Oh, also, I mean, I started way back when I first started in law enforcement. I used to ask questions like, do you know why I pulled you over? That's a dick move. I mean, sincerely, like it kind of gets you off on the wrong foot. If I stop somebody, there's a reason. I had probable cause to stop them. And my little spiel that I worked out over the first year or so of working on the road was identified myself. I introduced myself. I told them who I was, what department I worked for. And I said specifically, this is why I stopped you. And there's some really good training. There's some police training out there that justifies why that's safer for the officer. It's better for public relations. I strongly encourage other officers. That's how I trained the people I trained. So, you know.
And a cop who'd ask that question would bust an old lady for weed. We have time for one more question, and then we're going to do the interactive part.
I was going to ask about civil asset forfeiture.
How much are you giving us?
I can't answer that in this allotted time, but I have lots of thoughts. And it's up on cert to the United States Supreme Court right now. So any answer I gave you would
change
be undone. And
no. All right, so I guess one more question we will have time for. One more.
There we go. No, we said one, not two.
Oh, okay. I'm just kidding. So this should be a quick one, kind of related to what was in the video. My general policy, if I'm at home, I live alone. If I'm at home, someone knocks at my door. If I don't know them, no matter what costume they're wearing, whatever, if I don't know them, I'm not expecting anyone, I just don't answer the door. Is that generally a good policy?
Probably.
In real life, to law enforcement?
Probably.
Okay.
I mean, if I show up at somebody's door and I'm knocking on the door, and just legitimately, you know, I might be trying to talk to you because one of your relatives reported that one of your other relatives had been sexually or physically abused, and I might want information from you to help figure out the truth of the situation. So, you know. Is that important to you? You know.
I have no way of knowing, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll make phone calls and all kind of stuff. Yeah. But I just mean, like, you know.
But would you leave your card if he doesn't come to the door?
Oh, yeah.
So he's going to leave his card, you know, to call him back. And I don't think it's a bad idea to not answer the door until they get on the bullhorn. I answer the door generally up until a certain point at night, and then it's like, well, you have no legitimate business in my yard. I'm not getting up, and my dogs are probably barking their heads off.
Since you actually live alone, so you say. No. Yeah, if you actually live alone, there are times that somebody who might care about you is saying, I haven't heard from so-and-so for this amount of time. They usually contact me. It's a welfare check. That's what it breaks down to. But they say these sorts of things, and it's like, and they just want to make sure you're alive. I will tell you how many welfare checks that I've gone to, and there's a dead body sitting right there. So, and they don't, and this one guy, I mean, I don't want to get too gross on you. You can stop me at any time. You know, knocked on the door. There's a pile of mail there. That's clue number one. You know, you're looking in the windows, and there's, you know, and I walked around back. At the side window, there were a bunch of flies.
Okay, you can stop.
I'll say quickly, most cops will call beforehand. So
They'll try to call you.
Going on beforehand. So if you haven't gotten calls, then you got more reason to be questioning. The only times I've had that happen, the police have called first, or they've been active in the neighborhood for whatever reason. So, all right. So we are out of questions. We do have time for the most important part of this. As we said, the police are trained in these matters. You are not. Therefore, this is your training session. Ready to repeat? Again, it was an interactive performance there before. So, the first thing that we will repeat is, I do not consent to any searches. I do not consent to any searches. Next, am I being detained or am I free to go? Am I being detained or am I free to go? And the next one is, I am going to remain silent. I want to talk to my lawyer. I am going to remain silent. I want to talk to my lawyer. They didn't do it in here, but do you have a warrant? It is also an important one. So thank you all very much for joining us tonight. And we'll be around and spread the word about this panel. I think it's the most valuable one people can have here. And thanks to all our panelists.